So this will wrap up our excursion. I did maybe cover a little more ground than several of you thought I might, because you've been in my classes before. So very, very quickly, just to sum up what we've done in the last 11 weeks or so. So once again, Hebrews written to a Jewish audience, urging them to not go back to the old ways, not go back to Judaism. Makes comparisons all through the book of how the old law of Moses worked and the new covenant that God has instituted through Jesus. He now speaks to us through his Son, he says in verse 2 of the letter. So he's talking about the supremacy of Jesus and his covenant all through the letter, and making comparisons all the way through. And in doing this, so this is written 4 or 5 years before Rome is going to come down on them in a hard way. And no doubt there's a lot of tension going on, and they're feeling some persecution besides the pull to maybe, is Jesus coming back or not? Is this a real thing or not? It's been 30 years, he's still not back. What happened? He must not have been the Messiah, because the Messiah was going to establish his kingdom. And the Jewish idea was like King David, we're going to have a great renewal of our political status and the kingdom. And that was not happening, so it was causing a lot of people to doubt that Jesus was even the Messiah. So the writer of the letter is saying, look, here's all the things, here are all the reasons that you need to say that Jesus, this is exactly what God planned. And he makes a mighty effort to give them a statement. So now he's, as he's doing this and talking about the need for them to stay faithful, he tells them, you need to endure. You need to endure. I mean, I know it's hard. The persecution is never any fun. Endure. And last week, just a couple of things from last week when we were in chapter 10. 10 and verse 23, he says, let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, because he who promised is faithful. He says, hold, keep your faith. Hold on to your confession. The one who made the promises to you is faithful. He will keep them. And then he comes back at the end of that chapter, or in his letter, a few paragraphs later, down to verse 36, and he says, you have, he says the same thing. He says in 23, hold fast to your confession. In 36, he says, you have needed endurance, so that when you have done the will of God, you may receive what is promised. So, endure. I want to, so now we're in chapter 11. And this is known as the faith chapter, by 1 Corinthians 13, the love chapter, 1 Corinthians 15, the resurrection chapter, Hebrews 11 is the faith chapter. And faith is greatly, there are a lot of, there's been a lot of debate and different ideas and theological ideas around this word, faith. So I want to look at that, but before we do, I want to talk about something else, the two systems that are at play. The Jews have 15 centuries under the law of Moses. And that was a law of works. It was a works system. And the thing about the law of Moses was that, as he talks about in Galatians chapter 3, if you're going to live by the law, you've got to keep the law, the whole law. James says in James 2, if you violate one part of the law, you're guilty of all of it. You've broken the law. The thing about the law of works, the law of Moses, was based on man's performance, on our performance. And and nobody could keep it. Everybody failed, as in everybody. That was part of the problem, the big problem with the old covenant. It had no provision for forgiveness if there was not perfection. The person was guilty of the whole law. So there are continual sacrifices. I mean, the law of Moses was rivers of blood of animal sacrifice. And yet, like we read in Hebrews 10, the blood of bulls and goats cannot remove sin. It's not there. It can't do it. The animal didn't sin. The animal cannot take your place. It was a teaching opportunity for the Jews to learn that sin causes death. And Paul repeats that in Romans 6, the wages of sin is death. Well, the Jews were learning that for centuries. Through their sins, thousands and thousands and tens and hundreds of thousands of animals were killed. So the wages of sin is death, but there's no provision in the old law under the law of the system of works for forgiveness. Now, contrast that to the system of faith. That is not built on my performance or my work, but the system of faith is built on God's promise. God's promise. It's God's work. And so when I put myself into His care and my trust into Him, it is His work that saves me. I cannot earn my salvation. I cannot merit my salvation. So, huge difference between the system of works and the system, if you will, of faith. Man, we don't have a chance in a system of works. It's just not possible because no one's perfect. And to be with the Lord in heaven, we've got to all be perfect. So it's beyond human capability, but it's not beyond the capability of Jesus. So again, we put ourselves into Christ and we're covered. We are covered. And it's His perfection that we rest in. We just have to come to Jesus, as the psalm says. Let's read this passage in Romans chapter 9. By the way, Eddie, I saw your note. I didn't see it until like 5:20. I did answer you, but it was 5:20 when I emailed back to you, which was 3 hours after your email to me. And so about 3 hours from 5:20, you were you can read my after class.
I would have been thinking of reading about it after class.
Yeah. So, Romans 9 and verse 30. This is a comparison of the two systems of faith and works. What shall we say then? The Gentiles who did not pursue righteousness have attained it. That is, a righteousness that is by faith. But Israel, who pursued a law that would lead to righteousness, did not succeed in reaching that law. Why? Because they did not pursue it by faith, but as it were based on works. They stumbled over the stumbling block. So the Jews, who were seeking their justification before God by keeping the law, they all failed. They said, there's no justification before God under the law of works. No. So the Gentiles didn't pursue a law of works. They pursued God through faith. He says they receive righteousness because of their faith, their acts of faith. So more of that as we go through this. Let's see. Okay, a few uses of the word faith. Let's go to one Eddie talked about the other day, right in the book of Jude. When you say faith, it may mean a number of different things. Faith. It's like love as I love hamburgers, and I love ham. And love doesn't mean the same thing in both of those cases. The same with faith, we use it different ways. Here in Jude, verse 3, let's see. Beloved, although I was very eager to write to you about our common salvation, I found it necessary to write immediately to you to contend for the faith. Now, contend for the faith. So there he's talking about a doctrine or a theology. The faith of Jesus. He's not talking about their belief system. He's talking about a doctrine, which is, by the way, notice he says, that was once for all delivered to the saints. Once for all delivered. D.D. past tense. So this is just one of the passages that tell us there are no more additional revelations coming. By the time Jude had written this, all the revelations were given. There are no latter-day revelations to be given. God has given. He told the apostles and the disciples at that time in John 16, the Spirit will guide you into all truth. All. And Peter says he's given us all things that pertain to life and godliness. And Jude says the faith was once for all time, delivered. So God's revelation to us for salvation has been given. And so someone comes to you now and says, I have a new revelation. No. No. You don't have a new revelation. Look at it. We'll get into some of the nitty-gritty here just a little bit. We're talking about this on Sunday morning with Stephen and Matt. Go to James chapter 2. Another use of the terminology, James 2. I'm going to start at 17 and going through 23. Familiar passage. So also faith by itself, if it does not have action, is dead. You know, James makes the comment in his letters, says you can say to someone be warm and filled, so if you don't do something for them, they're not going to be warm or filled. So it's more than just saying, I believe something going on 18. Some of them say you have faith and I have works. Show me your faith apart from your works, and I will show you my faith by my works. Now, understand, he's not talking about, another way to say this is by my actions or deed. He's not talking about works in the sense of justification or merit. This is not the use of works as a deed of merit. It's simply talking about my actions, my life. Response is another way, yes. So, 19. You believe that God is one, you do well, but the demons believe. And shudder. So, the demons are sincere believers in God. They believe so thoroughly that they shake at the idea. So, we want our faith or our belief to be more than what the demons have. Well, why aren't the demons saved? Well, they didn't obey God. They didn't stay with God. They didn't obey Him. They rebelled. So faith alone, he says, the demons have that. Verse 20. You want to be shown, you foolish person, that faith apart from obedience is useless? Well, was not Abraham our father justified by actions or works when he offered up his son Isaac on the altar? You see that faith was active along with his action, his works. And faith was completed by his works. And the scripture was fulfilled that says Abraham believed God and it was counted to him as righteousness. And he was called a friend of God. So the scripture in one place says Abraham believed God and it was counted him righteous. James says here that when he offered his son, that scripture was fulfilled that said Abraham believed God and it was counted righteous. So let's just turn real quick. We've got to listen fast. I've got to talk fast for us to cover the ground we want to cover. Genesis 22. with what?
Our grandparents.
Our dads.
Our fathers.
Similarly, we should obey out of respect.
Peter,
sir.
For those who had that reverence is due to God as well.
Reverence as well, possibly. Absolutely. God is in his holy temple, that all the earth can be silenced before him. Carl?
Would say that a lot of what Paul is dealing with is the way the scribes and the Pharisees have used the old law in the Testament. You know, when Jesus comes and say, law's not made of man, and, I mean, there's a Sabbath, Isaiah, you know, sons I've ordered for you, the praise today, they accentuated the legalistic aspect of make faith a matter of pride.
Yeah, it was easy.
David, you know, in Psalms 119 or 51, he used to know only after sin is he repented. Christ has made an action oriented.
It was an empty form, which Jesus told them, I desire your heart, not sacrifice.
Here is the point you're making, very close to our mission.
Thank you.
That we do what God wants us to do because we want to please Him, not because we need anything from Him.
Now, let's make it sticky. Let's get it sticky now. So, I'll give you my understanding, and I think I can show this in the scripture, that faith is, let's just simply put, an obedient trust in God's word. His promise. I want to obey Him, like Jeff said, and it is a deep trust that moves me to do that. So along comes Martin Luther and John Calvin. Now, these guys love Jesus, love God, no doubt about it. And they love His word. But when they looked at the word faith, they moved to a definition of, when they looked at faith and obedience, they said, obedience would be a work, and that would be doing something to earn a reward. So we can't be saved by the work to earn a reward. So we're saved before we obey. Obedience can't be involved in a requirement to please God. If you look at the word faith as mental only, that becomes your theology. If you look and read the scriptures and read, you think mental only, then you come to a place that says, I believe in my heart, I'm trusting God, and He's saving me. And you understand obedience to be something extra after the fact. Now we're going to get to Hebrews 11 here, and the Hebrew writer, just like James, turns that on his head. He defines faith by obedience. The Hebrew writer and Paul, we're going to look at a couple of verses, do not separate faith from obedience. They see it as the same. They see obedience as a manifestation of faith. Not a separate meritorious effort, but a component of faith. That's how Paul sees it. For example, Galatians chapter 5, verse 6. If you'll turn there, Paul will talk about it. says basically the same thing that we just read James say, is that faith without action is dead. So it's anxious. Paul says in Galatians 5, verse 6, through the Spirit, by faith, I started in verse 5, we ourselves eagerly wait for the hope of righteousness, verse 6, for in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision counts for anything, but only faith working through love. Faith working through love. Faith to be effective in the world must be active. I have to engage in living for God. That's what he wants me to do. Jesus says, let your light so shine. People are not going to see your light by looking at your head. He moved his head. Did I see a light come out of there? They see our lives by what we, how we live. So neither circumcision nor uncircumcision does anything, he says, but faith which works through love. Look at Romans chapter 1. Paul makes another statement about this in Romans 1. So he says, right after he says in verse 16, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of God, it's the power of God's salvation. Then look at 17. For in it, in the gospel, the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith. As it is written, the righteous shall live by faith. It's how we live. It's what we're doing. It's who we are. It's who we are being. It's how we're conversing. It's how we're acting. It's our example. It's our light before men. It's our lives. The righteous shall live by faith. Live by faith. Living is doing. Engaging in the world. Not keeping something in your head and all to yourself. That's a very narrow, shallow view of what is involved in faith. Faith is much more. It's much bigger, sir.
One of the ways that I think about it is the gift we receive through Christ. We receive a gift. If somebody gives us a birthday present, we're going to, if we're good people, we're going to act in appreciation. We're going to be thankful. And we're going to act in appreciation to the gift. God has given us the gift of salvation. We should respond with a great appreciation, which is going to be his children, which means we're going to obey him. He's our Father.
Yes. The scripture, again, the scripture never separates, never calls obedience merit. A meritorious action. Never does. It's because it's not. It's due the Lord because of who he is, because his gift is part of our faith. Look, and we looked at this a few weeks ago. I just want to read it one more time with you because I think it illustrates what we're talking about very clearly. I'm in Colossians chapter 2. Colossians 2. Just looking at what God is telling us here. You know, it's a challenge. We come to Scripture with all kinds of prejudices and ideas that we have about things. And then we try to get God's Word and we try to get him to fit into our theology instead of looking and saying, what are you saying? What can I learn? Is this understandable? Is it understandable? If it is, let me try to understand it. Colossians 2. Verse 11. Talking about Jesus, in him, you were circumcised. Now, that said a lot to the Jews. That's what they've been doing for 1,500 years. circumcision made without hands. Ooh, that's different. Circumcision without hands. So it's something different going on here. By putting off the body of the flesh. That's scripture for sin. The body of sin. You put off the body of the flesh, the body of sin. By the circumcision of Christ. Whole different deal. Now, verse 12. Having been buried with him in baptism, in which you were also raised with him, through faith in the powerful working of God, who raised him from the dead. Some verses say in the operation of God. You were buried with him and raised with him, having faith in the powerful working of God. Nothing that you did in yourself in your baptism made you forgiven. Nothing that I did made me forgiven. It was my faith in God, obeying his command. He says you are buried by faith with him. And raised with him, having faith in the working of God, faith that God is making me new, giving me his spirit, forgiving my sins, uniting me with Christ. It's all up to God. It's not up to me. It's up to God. It's God's action, faith, and working of God. So I wanted us to kind of get those two ideas in our minds as we get into Hebrews 11 very quickly now. We're going to fly through Hebrews 11. So here we go. Faith is the assurance of things hoped for and the conviction of things not seen. Those words there, assurance, is if you read the commentaries, it's hypostasis, which means foundation. And conviction is alenkos, which means it's a legal term. It's like the evidence is in, and we're convicted by the preponderance of evidence. So it says, that's your faith. It's assurance and conviction. For by it, by faith, people of old received their commendation. How were they commended before God? By faith. Not by animal sacrifices. They were saved by faith just like we are. They had different ways, different ordinances to keep, different ways to show their faith. God used animal sacrifice for centuries to teach them that sin causes death. But when they obeyed God, whether it was Abraham, David, or whoever it was back there, Moses and so on, or us centuries later, we're saved the same way by faith. By putting our faith and trust in God and obeying whatever it is that he has asked, said for us to do. That's obedience and that's faith. That's how they were saved, just like we are, by faith. Verse 3, for by faith we understand the universe was created by the word of God, so that it, get that, created by the word of God. You know, Genesis 1, so you read it, Genesis 1 and 2 there, and over it says, and God said, let there be. And God said, and God said, and God said. By faith we understand the universe was created by the word of God. And God said, so that what is seen was not made out of things that are visible. That's kind of curious, isn't it? That the guy writing Hebrews, this is long way before Microsoft. The boss or whoever it was writing this didn't have a microscope. Why would he say that what is seen was not made out of things that are visible? He's exactly right. And now we're learning there's so many things. You know, back when I was going to school, it was the atom. It was protons and neutrons and electrons. Those were the building blocks of everything. And now we've learned here since 1968, there's all kinds of things way smaller than those protons and neutrons and electrons that are building them. But they're made of quarks and such. It's strange that he would know to even bring this up, since how would you know that everything was made by something that is not seen? How would you know to say that unless someone told you to say that? Because you've never seen anything like it. You have no way of knowing that atoms existed. Or things smaller than atoms. But anyway, he says it. So here we go. He's going to start now talking to them through Hebrews 11 about faith and obedience, and it's never merited. And so when Jesus, before he left the planet, he tells the disciples that are gathered around him, and he says, you go and tell everybody in the world about me, and preach the gospel, tell them about me. In Matthew, he says, baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Spirit, and teach them to obey all the things that I've commanded you. And then he leaves. He's expecting obedience. That's what he told the disciples to do. Not about merit. He's expecting obedience. In Mark, he says it's slightly different. He says, go into the world, tell them about me, tell them about the gospel. He that believes and is baptized, which is saying, he's expecting obedience. Nothing to do with merit. Obedience, God is due obedience. So, by faith, Abel offered to God a more acceptable sacrifice than Cain, through which he was commended as righteous, God commending him, accepting his gifts, and through his faith he died. Though he died, he still speaks. By faith, Abel offered a pleasing sacrifice, and he was commended as righteous. When he offered the sacrifice, when he obeyed, by faith. There's no separation between faith and obedience. None. And we go on through this list here. So there's even. Wow, you know. By faith, so he walked with God, it says in Genesis. Walked with God. He was taken up so he would not see death. He was not found. God took him. Before he was taken, he was commended as having pleased God. There must have been some obedience in his life there. Verse 7. Now let's go back to 6. Without faith, it is impossible to please him. For whoever would draw near to God must believe that he is and that he rewards those who seek him. So there's reward involved, but it's not owed. It's a gift. It's a reward. We have these little charts on our refrigerator. When Rory and Fletcher do certain things, we say, okay, you get a star. And they get several stars. And we say, all right, it's treat day. We're going to take you and you on an ice cream or a milkshake. They don't earn any of that stuff. I'm selling out my hard-earned money just because I love them. They're getting rewards. Do they earn it? No. And Addie wants to play too. She doesn't know why or how, but we give her stars and she sticks them up there. And we make the boys share their ice cream with her. Not too much, but some. Did you notice there that whoever would draw near to God must believe that he is? Let me just say real carefully. That eliminates him from baptism. Whoever comes to God, the scripture says, must believe that he is, and that he is the rewarder of those who seek him. The way that infant baptism got started was because it was so important to get those babies baptized into Christ to get rid of their sin. Mary says that if you want to please it, you have to believe in it. The Bible doesn't believe in it. So we have to come to faith in Jesus and a recognition of who he is to begin our walk with God. Verse 7. By faith, Noah, being warned by God concerning events as yet unseen and rare of fear, constructed an ark for the saving of his household. Noah built the ark. By faith, Noah built the ark. It was part of his trust in God. To the saving of his household. By this, he condemned the world and became the heir of righteousness that comes by faith. Righteousness comes by faith. A trust in God, a following of God, obey what the Lord says. By faith, verse 8, Abraham obeyed when he was called out to a place to go and he was received in inheritance. He went. He got up and moved. Got up and moved. It's called faith. Hebrews calls it faith. Look at verse 10. He is looking forward to a city that has foundations, its designer and builder is God. You know, he's looking forward to a city built by God. And that phrase is used in Scripture a few times. And Jesus says something similar to that in John 14 when he says, "Don't let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it weren't so, I would have told you. I'm going to make a place for you. And if I go and make a place for you, I will come back and receive you unto myself so that where I am, there you may be also." Jesus is building a place for us. Just like it said, Abraham was looking forward to a city whose builder and maker is God. They are preparing for us. They're excited that we're coming. Hebrews 2, verse 11, we read several weeks ago, says that Jesus is not ashamed to call us his brothers and sisters. He could very well be ashamed of me, but I love that the Scripture says he's not. And it says he talks to the Father about us. And it says again, Hebrews 7, 25, he ever lives to intercede for us. Wow. It just gets gooder and gooder. Incorruptible, buried in weakness, raised in power, buried in plans to have an immortal spiritual body. Susan. And woman. Much, much more ahead. 5 more minutes. I thank Abraham, I'm 17, we looked at this a little bit ago. I thank Abraham, well, he was tested, offered up Isaac, and he who had received the promises was in the act of offering up his only son, of whom it is said, through Isaac your offspring will be renamed. He considered God was able to raise him from the dead, and figuratively he received him. Look at verse 29. By faith, the people crossed the Red Sea as on dry land. Not the Egyptians. The Egyptians attempted to do the same and were drowned. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell down after they had encircled for 7 days. God told them what to do. They did it. Go around it. You had to think they're thinking, what is going on? And then the 7 days says, go around it. It's the previous I said. Go around it. Tell you what, go around it again. Toot your horns. Seven times in the river Jordan. Naaman wasn't doing anything to make himself clean. God did it all. He could have been cleansed of his leprosy if he had to obey God. So why does the scripture give us all these examples? Why does the scripture give us all of these examples? It's for Fred. I think he's trying to tell us something, isn't he?
You know what's sad when we're talking about the infants in the Catholic Church? A lot of them are going to learn the truth.
So that's what we're here to be, lights. Let's finish with this. Chapter 12. He says, since therefore we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses. So we haven't read all the names that were in chapter 11. That's our cloud of witnesses. People who endured, people who trusted God, people who by faith obeyed whatever it was he said to do. Since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin that clings so closely. And I think one of the sins that was clinging so closely to them had to be their doubt about Jesus, because they were thinking about going back to Judaism. And he says, don't do that. Don't doubt Jesus. That's sin. That's going to ruin everything for you. Stay with him. So he says, get rid of every weight, the sin that clings so closely, run with, he says the word again, endurance, the race set before us. Now watch, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith. Some versions read the perfecter of the faith. The finisher. Let me say real quickly, I've got 4 minutes. Jesus had great faith. I don't have time to develop this like I was thought I might. Jesus had faith. We are saved by the faith of Jesus. It was his faith that makes all of this possible. He had never died before. God had never seen death. He had never been separated from his Father in eternity. He had never carried any sin. And the Father says, I want you to carry sin. I want you to die as a sacrifice for sin. And because I cannot exist with sin, you will be separated from me. And he prayed. He prayed, Father, let this cup pass. I don't want to do it. I don't want to do it. He's hating it. He's dreading it. And he says on the cross, Father, why have you forsaken me? He trusted that God would keep, the Father would keep his word. He had never died. He had never carried sin. He had never been separated. He didn't know what any of that was going to be like. His faith in the Father enabled him to go to the cross for us. And by that faith, we are saved. For we put our trust in him. He is the perfecter of our faith. Last thing, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, stripped of his clothes, despising the shame. Only the worst of criminals were crucified, despising the shame, and seated at the right hand of the throne of God. Two things about the joy set before him. There was joy in knowing by faith in the Father, he would be put at the right hand of the Father and back in glory. But for the joy set before him, I think the greater joy was why he came to the earth. We are the joy set before him. That's why he endured the cross, to save us. You are the joy set before him, that you would put your faith in him, take his sacrifice on your behalf, and come to live with him in the mansions, rooms he has prepared. Father, we thank you for your great gift to us of Jesus, for his great gift to us in the cross and the resurrection. Help us, Father, to live in ways that will show that appreciation and be faithful to you. We pray in Jesus' name.